Welcome to EconoDay's Economist Roundtable. Jeremy Hawkins and Mark Pender are with me today. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. This is our last podcast of 2016, so I think we need to look forward to 2017. And despite the many, many unknowns, and there seems to be more than usual this year, what we might expect going forward. Among the many unknowns, how Brexit will be carried out going forward, and the results and the actions of the new president in the United States, to name just two, plus a national election in Germany and others scheduled elsewhere. And in the Asia-Pacific region, things have improved in Japan enough so that the Bank of Japan is expected to be on hold going forward. The decline in the price indices seem to be easing, even though BOJ Governor Kuroda does not anticipate reaching the 2% inflation target in a while. And importantly, business sentiment, as measured by the Tankin survey, is picking up. In Australia, the economy is expected to bounce back in the fourth quarter after declining in the first time since the third quarter in the last 3 months of 2011. Emerging countries in Southeast Asia are concerned that higher interest rates from the Fed will dent capital inflows. China's economy continues to be troublesome. Housing prices continue to soar, and foreign exchange outflows continue to challenge the People's Bank of China. And the strength of the U.S. dollar has sent the yuan spiraling downward. That's the good news from Asia. Jeremy?
Okay, well, I think as far as Europe's concerned next year, the biggest uncertainty in many ways is going to be, as you've already touched upon, and that's a political backdrop. In terms of the economy, quickly, it seems now as if we're at long last beginning to see some acceleration in Eurozone growth. UK growth, of course, has held up surprisingly well since the Brexit vote back in June time. And we've got really, it looks as if Bank of England and ECB policy is kind of set for probably the best part of 2017 anyway. So the big question mark is what happens about the politics. As you mentioned, we've got the bigger German election, which will happen in September, October. Before then, we have general elections in the Netherlands. We have the French presidential elections. There's at least more than an outside chance we could see parliamentary elections in Italy as well. That would be a year early. And of course, the UK itself, depending upon how all the Brexit negotiations and everything else goes, it could be the case we get UK general elections happening before the scheduled 2020 as well. So whenever politics start impacting financial markets, it really all tends to get quite messy. And I suppose if nothing else, I'd expect to see fairly high levels of volatility, at least during the first half of next year. One other thing I suppose just to quickly mention on terms of the foreign exchange markets, you know, what the currencies like? Well, typically speaking, they like the combination of a loose fiscal policy, which helps to get growth going, combined with a tight monetary policy, which provides increasing rates of return. And if you look around most of the industrialized countries for 2017, the only one which really stands out in that context is going to be the US. So it seems to me as if it should at least start off as still being a pretty positive dollar year. And of course, we got euro dollar close to the parity level. So I suppose perhaps many investors will be looking for an early test of that once we get into 2017. Standing from that, though, I suppose the big question then is how far will the Fed be prepared to let the dollar rise? Which inevitably, of course, takes us across to Mark.
It may not be up to the Fed at all. It may be up to the new administration. And the relationship between a tight monetary policy and a loose fiscal policy, that's the question right now. If those are in too much conflict for the administration has shown its willingness in the election to just upend the institutional setting for the Federal Reserve. So that is a big question to see how that unfolds. Janet Yellen says she intends to serve out her term, but that still has to be seen. It still has to be seen what kind of political pressure, if it's anything like the political pressure that was applied during the campaign, it's going to be unprecedented and will create and it could create certainly a shuffling in what to expect for U.S. interest rates. But and also now turning to the outlook based on U.S. interest rates, we had an existing home sales report today, which was very interesting. Rates are rising 50, 75 basis points for mortgage rates since the election. And this has yet to really pull down or really to slow the housing market. However, what it is doing is it's making affordability an issue. It's making houses more expensive to own. That with a 5, 6% home price appreciation rate is making the housing market look a little bit outside the reach of the average worker. Certainly income is not growing at anywhere near 5 or 6%, and of course with rates going up, that's another question. So I think from the U.S. we also have an inflationary issue here. If fiscal stimulus as it unfolds, and it will take months I guess to unfold, if it hits during what is full employment, and certainly a 4.6% interest unemployment rate points to full employment, then we could have at least the risk or the talk of a wage, you know, of a wage flashpoint, which then would force the Federal Reserve, which unemployment's the one, it has two things, two mandates it has to watch. The first one officially has to watch. The first one is employment, and they're at their goal. They have made what they define as full employment. The other is inflation, which is still lagging a little bit, but is moving forward and would hit their range, and would likely hit their range. It looks like the curve would hit their range pretty soon. If we get a wage issue coming in with a sudden a super large stimulus program, then that would definitely make a conflict between monetary policy and fiscal policy. Traditionally, monetary policy is the more powerful of the two for economic change. But this may be something different now. We may be into a new. We're certainly the consumer certainly thinks we're in a new era. The University of Michigan Consumer Center report the other week cited an unprecedented spontaneous burst from the respondents talking about a new economic era. And this was not played out in the Federal Reserve, at least in the, on the stage, although Yellen did hint that they do talk in, behind the stage. So lots of unknowns, it makes for interesting times. There's, I think, in the traditional side of the American psyche is business, and I think what we have now is a can-do spirit, and we'll see how that plays out, and if that changes any traditional relationships in the in the institutional economic structure.
In terms of something perhaps we do know, or at least we know a little bit about, do you think we'll get the usual rotation on and off the FOMC next year? Do you think the shift in the composition there could have any implications for policy?
Well, they're actually talking about shifting the actual mandate of the Republicans in Congress. They're talking about redefining who goes in and who votes. There's in play right now suggestion that all the regional presidents will be given a vote. So the whole thing is in play right now, and we had hawkish representatives last year. And I don't know how it's going to play out for this year. Everything is upended. Regional presidents tend to be a little bit more hawkish. They'll have plenty of to be hawkish about it if wage inflation starts to pick up.
Mark, we know about the current composition and who will be the voting members for next year. Uh-huh. As we speak, I think the wild card are the two vacant spots on the Federal Reserve Board itself, and who the incoming president nominates. I think those are the key issues as far as the Fed composition is concerned.
Well, I guess, and whether or not the president wants Yellen in place. I mean, he said in the past during the campaign that he wants his his person in charge, right? So I think it would be it's going to be a very politically loaded Federal Reserve just by his style and in his prior comments. So
a political decision for an apolitical body who is supposed to be independent.
It's supposed to be. What? That's right. So this is the new economic era.
Yes, that's true. Thank you, guys. Please join me in wishing everyone a happy holiday season, and we'll see you in 2017.